Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's NOOM.com to sign up for your trial today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is July 7th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Christopher Sanchez was my lead yesterday. Six innings, one earned run, four hits, zero walks, and two Ks. He did this against the Rays. 75 pitches, but pretty shocking, right? Well, a lot of balls in play, a lot of quick outs here, only two strikeouts. He's kind of interesting. The changeup does get a lot of whiffs, over a 20% swing strike rate on it. The sinker is just kind of fine. He chucks it a lot in the zone, but he's getting the outs with it, so props to him there. And the slider is generally a big swinging, strike-getting pitch. It wasn't that good in this one. I don't know. Christopher Sanchez is fine. He's someone that can be considered as a Toby moving forward. I don't really think that Christopher Sanchez is that guy, though, really moving forward to in the second half as like, oh man, this is the next amazing Vargas role that we're going to run with. I don't know. It's fine. Carlos Carrasco against Arizona, eight innings, zero and runs, three hits, one walk, and four Ks. Oh man, that's incredible. Well, it's a 4.5 K per nine. And it's nice to see the slider and curve each returning a 42% CSW, four seamers seeing at 93.5. And the changeup with a lot of low location, but still at the end of the day, it relied so heavily on balls in play again. And I don't know. I feel like this was a really good Carrasco start. That's awesome. I don't really think that his consistency is going to be there because we just haven't seen it all year. And for him to actually have all these things working and then it's only four strikeouts too, it's, I don't know. I don't want to really punish Carrasco for getting outs effectively. But for fantasy purposes, you know, you want to see a start that Carrasco like really overwhelms to make you feel confident that he can do this moving forward. At this point, this is just really a good BABIP game. And it's harder to buy into that. But of course, I'm saying the slider and the curve were good and changeup was good. And the velocity was actually a 93.5, which is matching previous years. And he's been down a lot. He's messed with velocity a bit this year. Sometimes it's like 91, 92 earlier in the year. To see him back at 93.5 is really exciting. So maybe Carrasco does have that in him. And I think as it's going to be for the entirety of this roundup review and of course tomorrow's and the weekends, we just don't know what the next schedule is for a lot of these guys. So it's going to be really tough to make decisions right now before we get those schedules coming out. But if Carrasco does have those good matchups, maybe he is worth your time again. Jose Berríos against the White Sox, seven innings, zero in runs, one hit, one walk, six Ks, as he went opposite Lance Lynn, who matched him essentially through seven innings just with more strikeouts. We'll get to that in a second. But Berríos did this with a 9% CSW slider, or curveball, I should say. Really a slurve is what Savant says, but it's the same curveball from previous years. What's crazy about it is it was so well located. I mean, this was really amazing to me where he spotted it so consistently. And it was 9% CSW, a lot of foul balls and a lot of outs. So that's fine. Like, because he located it well doesn't necessarily mean like it's a called strike or a swing strike. Better is an out. So we're happy with this, even though it's a 9% CSW. Lance Lynn against the Jays, seven innings, zero runs, one hit, one walk, and 11 strikeouts. And yeah, against the Jays, we didn't know what to do. I put him in the questionable start tier being like, it's a high risk, high reward play. And it felt really weird saying high reward because sure, the reward is like 7-8 strikeouts, but the chance of four runs or so is super high. And here he is with seven shutout innings. And so what we saw in that amazing 16 strikeout game from Lance Lynn was amazing secondaries. And I want to say that like, four-seamer and cutter are not secondaries. Those are primaries to me. He just evenly splits them. And then it's everything else of slider, changeup, curveball, right? But those were not good here. I thought I would see that. I thought I would see those pitches really be amazing. No, it was just four-seamer cutter domination. And I really do mean that. 12 whiffs on four-seamers and a 42% CSW cutter. He had 25 whiffs overall. And he didn't even earn a Gallows pull because there's someone else later on. Oh boy. Oh boy. The curve was absolutely chaos. 30% strike rate, and it was just all over the place. Yeah, it's weird because he's still the same enigma. Like Lance Lynn is kind of doing the same thing he was doing before, but now he's just getting the results that we kind of want him to get before. What a wild ride it is with Lance Lynn. I guess he's a hipster. You can't get rid of him. Heading inducing pitcher, stifling the entire roster. You're just going to keep riding it. I mean, look, that's two of his last three of total of 27 strikeouts. So I guess he got to do it. Jack Flaherty against the Marlins, 6.2 innings, 0 earned runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts against the Marlins. Fantastic. He got singled out here with those 9 hits. We'll take the Dusty Donut of the bad whip for everything else doing well. Only 5 over 44 whiffs, though, on the slider and the curve. But the fastball was at 94. So he gets the Nationals likely on the return from the break. So we're in on that. Kyle Bradish did well against the Yankees. And you guys know me, I'm all about, hey, sliders and curves need to be the thing, while the four-seamer needs to avoid damage. And the four-seamer did not have a single ball in play with 67% strikes, which is just everything you want. That means, great, the opposition needs to deal with curveballs and sliders and try to hit those into play. That's not going to work. So they did that with the slider. It was only 1 out of 26 whiffs, but that was fine with me. And the curves were 35% CSW, and he combined that for 50% breaking balls, which is good. I'm okay with that. I want to see it 60 to 70%. But if this is what we get from Bradish, I think that's okay. If this is what he does, you know, if he's able to avoid balls in play on the four-seamer, I'm so in. It's just, I don't know where when he's starting next, because the opening series is the Marlins, and then the second one is the Dodgers. So if he gets the Marlins, I think we take the chance on Bradish. If it's the Dodgers, we're not doing that. So, Michael Lorenzen against the Athletics. 5 innings, 0 in runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks. Attaboy. You did what you're supposed to do as a Toby against the Athletics, and then we just kind of move on and we don't think about Lorenzen anymore. Brandon Williamson against the Nationals. 3 innings, 0 in runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, 4 Ks. It was a rain delay. Messed this up. It's only 59 pitches, but he did have a lot more fastball velocity and a really good cutter. And maybe there's something to that. Maybe he's actually really coming into throwing harder and doing the 7 that is upstairs and inside to right-handers and as a lefty. And everything else is bad. Like the slider and the changeup are not something that we care about in the slightest. But fastballs and changeup, and cutters can make Williamson somewhat worthwhile. And we want to monitor that one at least. Sean Armstrong opened in this whole bullpen game for the Rays, and we don't care. Mackenzie Gore was stunted by the rain, 1.1 innings, so that is that. George Kirby against the Astros, 6.2 innings, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. He just lived completely upstairs. I think he void all of the bottom of the zone, save for glove side a bit with the slider, but it was pretty much like, I want to say 85% middle or high lock here, which is kind of funny. I do wonder what will happen when Kirby eventually figures out how to get lots of stuff down there and then stay only upstairs with the four-seamer. But hey, he survived against the Astros, so we're cool. Yuri Perez, I don't know how much we're going to see. My guess is really after the All-Star break, they just push him back to the minors until the middle of August. I feel like it's going to be that way with Yuri Perez and Brian Wu. It's going to be really annoying for those leagues that picked up both of them, aka me. And I'm going to find a way to figure that out, and we're going to have to claw our way through those weeks, likely by picking our streamers wisely and hoping that we can win an ERA and whip. I don't know. We'll figure that out together. But Yuri Perez did well against the Cardinals. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts. He was stupid good at 10 over 42 whiffs on the slider. I had an interesting conversation about Bobby Miller versus Yuri Perez for next year. My first instinct was to say, no, it's going to be Bobby Miller because it's a better situation in the Dodgers. So much potential at 100 miles per hour in the slider. But Yuri Perez, imagine he develops that changeup next year. And oh boy, I mean, he's the next coming of Sandy Alcantara. So I don't know if I agree with that anymore. It's going to be fun doing the top 200, I guess, starting pitchers in October. It's essentially going to be like a full day stream on Monday because we're going to have the playoffs on Tuesday. And after that, the Monday after the season ends, I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm literally just going to power through from like essentially the morning of the podcast. And then go from there to the beginnings of it, take a lunch break for an hour, and then just plow through it the rest of the day. We'll see. It'll be a lot of fun. But I'm talking about like October 3rd right now, or I'm talking about 5th or something. Whatever. Right now it's September, July 7th, and Yuri Perez is still pitching. That's a good thing. But yeah, get ready for the likely valley of minor league stint. But I imagine for September, Yuri Perez is going to be pitching, then probably shut down like the last week or something. That's probably what you're going to see. Tanner Bibee against the Royals did well. Everything you're supposed to do. 5 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 4 walks, 4 Ks. And I say everything, well, got through 5 innings of 1 earned run. The walks are a product of his secondary stuff not being there. The slider control was just not it. The curve was enough in the zone so that he could survive these five innings. But, yeah, I'm still kind of waiting for Bibee to click in with three things. And I think this one was four seamers doing well and the curve doing well, but not the slider or the changeup. So I need three things from Bibee, not two. And then when he has that, then I feel much better moving forward. I mean, I guess the Rangers likely and the return from the All-Star break, so that's not fun. And we're going to have to endure this for a little bit with Bibee. There are a lot of others to talk about, of course, from yesterday's game, including the guy who earned a golden goal yesterday. And we're going to talk about all of those and, of course, tomorrow's games and today's after this break. Are you ready to step up to the plate and show off your fantasy baseball skills? Check out Underdog's Fantasy 7th Inning Stretch Tournament from now through July 14th, where you can build your dream team and compete against your friends for the $150,000 in total prizes. So what are you waiting for? Visit the link in the episode description and use promo code PITCHERLIST to receive 100% deposit match up to $100. Join us in the 7th Inning Stretch Tournament and experience the thrill of fantasy baseball like never before on Underdog. Good luck and may the best team win. Must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 and older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. And in Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. Jordan Lyles did not get a win despite going five innings, one run. Poor guy. But yeah, he's just not something for fantasy. Julio Urias came back from his still ill. This still ill is the first one. Now he's much better against the Pirates. Good stuff there. No fears moving forward. Ronel Blanco had 9 strikeouts across 6 innings against the Mariners. 3 earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks. Something to think about. He throws 40% plus sliders. Could go up to 50%. The changeup and four-seamer got involved with 5 whiffs each. This was more of the Mariners, I think, being the Mariners. The four-seamer was really precise in this. I loved that. It was really good with four seamers and sliders. The changeup was kind of whatever. But it was really nice executing what, again, I call the 7, which is upstairs and then upstairs with four seamers and then sliders and going glove side. Like, that is what I call the 7. You see that from a lot of guys. You see that with lefties into righties. You see that from righties staying away from right-handers and also staying inside to lefties. That is a system I think that works really well. And Ronel Blanco, I think, actually has some upside here. 18 whiffs here against the Mariners. Probably isn't going to stick around, but interesting stuff here if he gets more starts for the Astros moving forward. Freddy Peralta got that golden goal. 28 whiffs, 36% CSW. I don't even need to read the line because it's stupid. You get 30 earned runs and 4 hits and 3 walks. But he's up 1.5 ticks on the four-seamer, 2 ticks on the slider, 3 ticks on 10 curveballs. He earned 12 whiffs each on both four-seamers and sliders, 60% CSW on the slider alone. I mean, come on. Freddy Peralta, as far as like any conversation we've ever had about skills and trusting the process over results, this is that. So all of y'all who are wondering, like, do I sell him, Freddy Peralta? Do I buy in on him? Yeah, buy him. Cutter Crawford against the Rangers. I want to see him doing the four-seamer mixed with sliders and sweepers for about 80% of the way. And he only did 9 of those sliders and sweepers across 73 pitches here. So I wonder if that's going to change moving forward. I'm not going to judge him harshly against the Rangers, but I feel like that was a start to experiment with and he didn't do it. So I'm a little annoyed by that because that's me from out here on my armchair. Jesse Schulten's against the Jays, 11 hits, 1 strike at him, 4 innings. Yeah, okay. Nathan Eovaldi against the Red Sox. Oh boy. Let me tell you a story. It's about Nathan Eovaldi throwing 94.4 and then 93.8, then 94.4, and then 96, and we thought maybe he's okay, and now he's back down to 94. You tell me, do you think that Nathan Eovaldi is healthy? Do you think that is just a mechanical thing that's just going to jump back up to 96, 97 and be good for the second half? Yeah, didn't think so. Okay. Yusei Kikuchi against the White Sox, 5 innings, 4 earned runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. He threw a lot of sliders and curveballs over the zone again. And he's doing the thing that we want him to do. 11 for 11 strikes and sliders is pretty cool, but the curveball got smacked for 5 hits. So I do like the mentality, but I think he needs to be a little bit better with them, as those curveballs weren't just like really low down. It was, yeah, those were hangers that they just slapped as the White Sox. He did earn 14 whiffs though in 76 pitches, which is really good. And the four-seamer is interesting. He like kind of, I feel like he needs to actually get that thing upstairs as opposed to all around. But Kikuchi, I think, still works as a streaming option. He's probably not going to start to go, though, in another 10 or 12 days because he won't be part of that rotation out of the gate. So if you have something else that you need, Kikuchi's someone that you can drop in the moment. Marcus Stroman against the Brewers. I know it's three straight starts of 300 runs, 400 runs, 500 runs, not in that order, but that's what you've gotten. After not allowing three earned runs in seven straight games, which is shocking, he gets the Red Sox next. I think we just still do it. The sinker is still a very good pitch. It's not as good as it has been, but I think it's just, you know, normal undulation. Yoan Oviedo actually located really well, I think, against the Dodgers. Had 18 whiffs here, and really the only earned runs, it was five of them, were off the bats of Muncy and Freeman from home runs for the most part. 6.2 innings, six hits, two walks, and six Ks to go to the five earned runs. This is against the Dodgers, 98 pitches. This was pretty good. I think if it was against a worse team, Oviedo comes through in a big way. 52% CSW with that slider here. So it's important to understand that with guys like Oviedo, like, yeah, we don't expect him to do well against the Dodgers, and we weren't going to start him, but it's about, hey, what was the actual skill, though? And the skill was much better here than we've seen lately, especially with the fastball actually being around the zone. That does suggest that, okay, he could take advantage of those poor teams. I know he didn't against the Brewers, but it's very easy for us to see that one start against the Brewers and go, oh, he's never going to do it again. It's like, well, no. In the same way that good pitchers who do well once don't necessarily mean they're going to do poorly the next time. A guy does poorly one day isn't necessarily going to be bad the next. And you're going to see now five earned runs and you think, oh, Oviedo is not capable at all of being a streamer. I'm like, no, he still very much is. Hogan Harris against the Tigers. Yeah, he did terribly. 700 runs, 4.2 innings. We probably don't say, you know, you probably don't really go after Harris for a bit, not to mention, like, I don't think the A's are going to have too many good streaming situations moving forward because they've had so many good ones lately. So, yeah, we probably ignore Hogan Harris, who doesn't have the same ceiling as Oviedo. Ryan Nelson was terrible against the Mets. Three innings of seven earned runs, just one strikeout. And it actually was so bad that Dre Jameson had come into relief, which means he doesn't start tomorrow, which is so annoying. But the changeup as his number two was just thrown 10 times. Why? It was actually, like, good. I don't get it. That's supposed to be your thing. You didn't throw it 20% of the time. I don't know. You just overchucked fastballs on this, and it got pummeled, and yep, that's okay. Goodbye, Ryan Nelson. And Luis Severino, oh man. So I've been actually saying that the fastball's been better than the results have said, but this was, I mean, the Orioles just jumped on it. Like, it was up in the zone, and they were like, oh, hi, cool, great, thanks so much, and they just destroyed it. Slider didn't get a ton of whiffs. The low changeups also allowed hits. It makes me think that there is tipping. And again, I mentioned it before at the game. My friend was like, hey, he's slowing down when he throws changeups and sliders. And I think that is a legitimate thing. Cohen has mentioned that he's had a problem with, you know, with telegraphing in the past. So I do wonder if that's actually a huge thing with Severino right now, which does suggest that, yeah, the tiara is there. And I also don't really think that Severino is from a skill set of like these pitches from a PLV standpoint or stuff plus and all that kind of stuff are nearly as bad as seven earned runs and 11 base runners and 2.2 innings, right? This stretch is really bad and should not be on your fantasy teams. But if you're in a situation where you can hold on to someone, you have an open spot, like just don't start Severino. But I do imagine at some point this year, this will get fixed in some way. Also, keep in mind, I believe he's a free agent after this. Like, he's going to figure this out. Like, he's not just going to be like, all right, whatever, goodbye. Like, no, he's going to work through this. All right, looking forward to today and tomorrow's streamers. We have Zach Gallen, Luis Castillo, Zach Wheeler, Corbin Burns, Justin Verlander, Andrew Abbott, Dylan Cease, Hunter Brown, Sandy Alcantara, and Tyler Glasnow, all in that auto start tier. Yes, even Glasnow against Atlanta. I know it's scary. This is such a good day for pitching, by the way. We have so many fun things, like, it's Wheeler versus Alcantara. It's also the return of Carlos Rodon, who I actually have in my probable start too. That's Bailey Ober, Yu Darvish, Jordan Montgomery, and Carlos Rodon with Tony Gonsolin and Savali against good matchups at the end of it. But Carlos Rodon, I'm going for it against the Cubs. I just think he's done really well in the minors. I think that it's a high enough floor that you should just, if you have him, just do it. If you're debating, do I activate him to drop someone else? You can probably wait one more start. Just don't activate him and do that later. For after the break, and that gives you a lot more time to figure out your roster. Maybe something will open up and you don't need to drop anybody. And the start is not worth it to not give yourself that opportunity. Charlie Morton, Griffin Canning, Cole Irvin, and Alec Manoah are in the questionable start tier. Right, Alec Manoa is making his return. I'm so curious about that one. Cole Irvin is a stream pick of the day just by default, not out of excitement. It's against the Twins. Maybe Cole Irvin could pull that one off. I don't feel like I need to go after that whatsoever. Do not start tier Daniel Lynch. I know he's had 2 ERA in the last 3 starts. Don't do that. Against the Guardians, I do not like that changeup. Luis Medina, Rich Hill, Jameson Taillon, Ross Stripling, Cody Bradford, Austin Gomber. Alex Fiedo's returning. Oh, man. Do not expect that to be great. I mean, maybe the slider was amazing against the Jays, but no. Trevor Williams, and who knows what the Red Sox are doing, because Paxton is starting tomorrow. And yes, Andrew Heaney is starting tomorrow as well. We also have Cody Bradford going today for... that is Heaney. I for every reason thought that was the Angels. Right? Cody Bradford's going today, and Heaney is going tomorrow. Looking forward to tomorrow's game, speaking of which, we have Garrett Cole, Kevin Gausman ahead of Spencer Strider, because Strider gets the Rays. And Cole and Gausman are going against the Cubs and Tigers. James Paxton's after that against Oakland. Love that. And Blake Snell gets the Mets, and he's been very strange with what he does. He's had success, but it was 11 base runners in 5 innings last time. Don't forget that. So he's not at the top of this, but I still obviously want to start Blake Snell. Framber Valdez, because he is starting and the Astros aren't saying, hey, let's give you another week because it's the All-Star break, fine, then I feel okay with the start against the Mariners. Tyler Wells against the Twins and Sonny Gray against the Orioles round out that tier in that matchup against each other. Sonny Gray's in a good spot, and you start Wells anytime you see him. Mitch Keller is in the probable start tier because he was lower in velocity last time. I really hope it's not a trend down. The Diamondbacks were scarier with Corbin Carroll, but they still are scary without him. Reed Detmers gets the Dodgers. He's on such a good run that even though it's the Dodgers, and it's nice to see that he is starting. I didn't think he would be, but they are skipping Tyler Anderson. They're pushing up Detmers a day, which is really nice. This is the last game of the season, or before the break, because there's no game on Sunday for the Dodgers or the Angels. It's nice to see Reed Detmers to get that start, because he's been just so good. Brian Wu against the Astros. It's the Astros, but Wu's fastball is that good. Gavin Williams is doing well. He didn't do well against Atlanta, but he gets the Royals, and that should go well. Braxton Garrett against the Phillies. He had a misstep. Same with Ranger Suarez, who gets the Marlins. And both of them are still here because I feel like I'm not ready to give up on them. And Andrew Heaney did really well with his slider down last time he gets the Nationals. So fine, we're going to go with that. Questionable start to you, Brady Singer against the Guardians. He's still a cherry bomb. I know it was 12 whiffs with the slider last time. I know it was 12 called strikes on the sinker. He is more volatile to me than Andrew Heaney is, and the Guardians are a little bit tougher. So he's in the questionable start tier. And Taj Bradley gets Atlanta. That might even be like a do not start. Be very careful with that one, especially if you're close in ratios. But if you need strikeouts, Taj Bradley could still do that. In the do not start tier, Paul Blackburn gets the dreaded red streaming label, as I don't want to start him against the Red Sox. I don't think his ceiling is high enough, and the Red Sox have shown that they have a good enough offense to mess us up easily, and it's just not worthwhile. Same with Miles Michaelis against the White Sox. I just don't want to do that. David Peterson, I don't think, is doing enough with his repertoire against the volatile Padres. Alex Wood against Rocky Road, and you would think that I would like that, but he just hasn't gone like 6 innings doing well for a while, and it's weird, and just I'm not doing it. Colin Ray against the Reds. Maybe the fastball just worked, but it's the Reds. Drew Smyly has not gotten his curveball down for a while, so we're not trusting this. He didn't do well against like the Cubs and the Brewers and all that kind of stuff. Just don't do it against the Yankees. Luke Weaver against the Brewers. You can't trust that. Michael Grove. It could be Landon Knack, and I spent like 30 minutes covering Landon Knack this morning to say like, hey, who is this guy? If he does get the opportunity, he's with the taxi squad. They haven't announced anything. It might be Michael Grove and then Landon Knack for a bulk. I don't want to start Michael Grove. If it's Knack involved here, he throws 91 with upper half fastballs. Not really necessarily above. Don't think like Ober, like it's above it. But it's upper third with 4 seamers. And they sometimes get whiffs, they sometimes don't. Where it's really the slider is like the do or die pitch. And he throws it glove side and has really good command when he does. I looked at 3 games on Savant, essentially. That's the best I can do for you. And first and foremost, the fastball is not an elite pitch, from my understanding. Not like this big, overwhelming whiff offering. It's fine, but it's not like, okay, the fastball is going to save him. No, it's all about that slider getting whiffs and being so good down and glove side. Thing is, one start, he just completely lost it three ago. In the last 2, it's been much better. While the other stuff is just, no. Like, I do not get the sense that the cutter, the change, curve, whatever else is there, Landon Knack, it's really slider, 4 seamer. And considering that 4 seamer is just a 91 and not an elite pitch that breaks the Wascarinoe rule of do not go after a guy with an elite slider and an okay fastball. So I don't really have interest in Landon Knack at this moment. And I don't feel like you need to stash him at the for now that he's on the taxi squad. That's just me. I know there are many amazing prospect analysts out there. Listen to Matt Heckman as well with us, who is our dynasty manager here at Pitcher List. But yeah, that's just how I see it. And I will always tell you how I think, but those are probably smarter people than me regards to prospects. Jake Irvin against the Rangers. I know he's throwing harder. It wasn't as hard last time, and the curveball like found its way to get called strikes last time, but he needs a much better second pitch. Matt Manning against the Jays, no thank you. Tuki Tassan, he's a thing, I guess. Well, he's around. Not really a thing for your fantasy teams against the Cardinals. I don't care it's the Cardinals. Tuki Tassan is not. That moment of excitement he had, what, in like 2019 or something? Connor Siebold against the Giants, no thanks. And, of course, the Diamondbacks without Dre Jameson. I have no idea what they're doing on Saturday, and I don't really care. All right, that is it for today. Just a heads up, I will be doing the podcast throughout my trip next week, but I'm going to the Cape from the 10th to the 18th of July. So what I do, I will not have, well, I'll probably have some sort of mini podcasts for you guys on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. It'll be interesting. I'm probably going to just do some broad things, maybe take some questions. Just about the second half, things I'm planning for. Maybe I'll actually look at September schedules. Just like I have a quick, like, generalized thing for you guys one of those days. If I can get that together with one of my staffers. But just like a generalized, like, okay, the month of September, these are the series. So this might mean X, Y, and Z. That's it. Not even like these guys. But live streaming, not going to do much of that next week. So we'll see. And I'm seeing actually in chat right now, someone's questioning my how I feel about Yuri Perez. I'm telling you guys right now, they're going to limit him to about 120 innings or so. It's not going to be 150. They're not going to just let him ride. It's not the plan. It's not what they're going to do. It's going to annoy a lot of us. I get it, but it's just not going to happen. And this is from Craig Mish. And if you can't trust Craig Mish, you can't trust anyone. So anyway, that is it. Thank you guys so much for the support. I'll be back Monday morning, of course, and doing the podcast through the All-Star break. Enjoy the break. Hopefully you guys can take some time off and enjoy yourselves. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.